Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You are so worthy, Lord. You are so worthy, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. You are so holy, Jesus. You are so holy, Jesus. You are so holy, so holy, so holy. So holy, so worthy. So worthy, so holy. So worthy, so holy, Jesus. So worthy, so holy, Jesus. Thank you, 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 Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are so holy. You are so holy. You are so holy. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. You're so holy, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. You are so worthy, Jesus. You are so holy, Jesus. Worthy are you, Jesus. Worthy are you, Jesus. Worthy are you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You're so holy, Lord. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being worthy. Thank you for being our Lamb. Thank you for being our Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, you're so worthy, Lord. You're so worthy. You're so worthy, Lord. You're so worthy, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Worthy is our Lamb that was sacrificed for us. He is so worthy. He is so worthy. He is so worthy. And he's holy. He's worthy and he's holy. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't it amazing? In the old covenant, they gave one lamb per family. Every family had to give a lamb to be sacrificed. In the new covenant, one lamb was sacrificed for the whole world.
Amen. Praise God.
Jesus.
God gave his one lamb, his only begotten son, to be slain for the whole wide world. And it only took one lamb. It only took one lamb. The blood of one lamb to cleanse the whole world that would receive him. If everybody in the whole world accepted Jesus Christ, his blood would be more than enough.
Amen.
It would be more than enough. It would be more than enough. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I was listening to something on YouTube this morning. The young lady was saying that she had a rough time and she tried to commit suicide. She had three stepdads. The first two were terrible. The third one wasn't terrible, but she kept judging him by the other three. Anyway, what she tried to do was commit suicide, but she didn't think nobody loved her, even though
her third stepdad was a Christian, and he was saved, and he was very good to them, but she still didn't believe it. She felt like he was going to turn out like the other two. And so she tried to commit suicide. She took a bottle of pills and took every pill in that bottle. And then the next morning, I think it was, or sometime, she woke up. I guess she thought she was going to be dead. She woke up and she looked around, couldn't figure out why she was still alive. Couldn't figure out why she didn't die. And then she said, she thought to herself, God, you must be real. Mm. Wow. And she said, God, how much do you love me? How much do you love me? And a lot of people probably ask that question, God, how much do you love me? And the thing is, God loved you just as much as he loved everybody else.
Yeah.
He loved nobody more than he loves you. He don't love you more than he loves anybody else. So I thought that she realized the love of God when she didn't die. She thought to herself too. She said, God, you must really love me. You must really love me because I didn't die. But God loves all of us. He loves all of us the same. Amen. I'm going to get ready to go to the Word of God. I want to go to Matthew 11:28. And I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. I'm going to read from Matthew 11:28, the whole rest of that chapter. I think it is. Matthew 11:28. And in Matthew 11:28 says this, come to me. This is Jesus talking. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who labor, all you that are working hard and are heavy laden, got all this weight or this bread of the world or whatever on you, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I think King James said learn of me, but it means the same thing. Learn of me or learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. How many of you know your soul needs rest? Mm-hmm. Our souls needs rest. Mm-hmm. 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. I want to come from a subject this morning, just one word. Because a lot of times we look at Matthew 11:28 and we can use it that way. We think it's a call for discipleship, a call for salvation. And it is a call for salvation. But I want you to look at this verse and see that it's much more than just a first time call to salvation. Amen. I want to use for a subject today, just one word, come. Come. Jesus said, come to me. Come to Jesus. Not just come to Jesus when you're wanting salvation. Not just making that one time commitment of salvation of coming to Jesus. But how about coming to Jesus every day?
Amen.
How about coming every day, several times throughout the day?
Amen. Praise God. Yes.
What about coming and just not stop coming?
Yes.
But just keep on coming. I don't know about you, but I need rest before I got saved. I had all that junk. I needed salvation. But trust me, since I've been saved, I needed to come many a times.
Yes.
I've been heavy laden many a times since I've come to him. I've been laboring and working. Matter of fact, before I knew about grace, I was laboring and working and trying not to lose my salvation. I didn't realize that coming to him meant an end of all of that.
Yes.
But he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. If you can't find rest anywhere else, if you just come to Jesus, he will give you rest. He will give you rest. He is our resting place.
Hallelujah.
He is our place of rest. And what does it mean to rest? To give rest, it means an inward tranquility. While one performs necessary labor. Y'all get that? Having rest, having tranquility while you perform necessary labor. A resting, reclining, natural sleep, and therefore rest. Inner peace with the meaning of rest. To cease from striving.
Yes.
How many of us have not yet ceased from striving? And then when we think about our striving, we have to stop. So, okay, I need to stop this. I don't need to strive because Jesus has already taken care of this.
Yes.
Why am I striving for something that's already mine?
Yes.
Why am I striving for something that the cross already paid for?
Hallelujah.
Why am I striving for something that Jesus' blood already took care of?
Yes.
So that's what it means to rest. Give me a cheer right quick.
This one?
It doesn't matter. That was fine. Put it right here. I'm going to lift that. Thank you. So resting, right now, it's fine. Right now, my body has to hold me up. I mean, my legs, my arms, everything has to hold me up. But if I'm tired and I want to rest, this think about this chair as being like Jesus. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to come to him. I'm going to sit down. Woo, I'm on rest. I'm on rest. So now what's going on? I'm not using my body to hold myself, but this chair is holding me. I'm just resting in the chair. I don't have to exert any energy. I don't have to do anything. We just sit here and rest in the chair and rest in Jesus. That's why he said, come. Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Guess what happens if I don't sit in the chair? I don't get no rest. If I don't sit down in this chair, my body don't get no rest. If we don't come to Jesus and fall into him,
yes, we
don't get no rest. So if you're wondering why you're toiling, why you're striving, why you're not getting any rest, maybe no sleep or whatever, it's all because you have failed what? Not to come to Jesus. You fail not to come to him. And then it says in the 29th verse, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So the first thing you got to do is come. You got to come. Then he says what? Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. What's a yoke? A yoke is something that you bind something together. It's like a servant or couple or any two things that couples anything together. I think about a yoke of oxen or when I grew up, there were mules. And they had this bridle that came down and it fit one mule on this side, one mule on that side, wherever high it was. And it coupled these mules together. And wherever the mules go, they had to go together. They couldn't go like that. They had to go together because they were yoked together. So to be yoked to Jesus means to bind yourself to him. You know, join yourself to him. Make sure you are in him, join to his way, join to his love. Come to him and say, Jesus, here I am. I'm here not to have my way. I'm not here to do things like I want to do them. But Jesus, I'm here to submit to you and yoke myself up to you and allow you to lead, and I'll just follow.
Yes.
Yes.
I'll just follow.
Yes.
Is it easy to follow sometimes? No, it's not always easy to follow. But it's always possible to follow. We have grace to follow him.
Amen.
We have grace to do that. Then he said, once you get yoked up to me, then I want you to learn from me. You know, when you yoke oxen together or animals together, they're really close together.
Yes.
We yoke ourselves to Jesus, we're close to Jesus. And then he said, learn from me. Okay, Jesus, you're the teacher. I'm not the teacher, you're the teacher. I'm here to learn from you. He's the greatest example there ever was and there ever will be. Learn from Jesus. Learn who he is. Learn what he did for you on the cross. Learn what the word of God says about you. Learn from Jesus. You know, a lot of times we want to learn from everything else. We learn from the TV. We learn from magazine. We learn from our best buddies. What's that word, BFF? Mm-hmm. What is it?
Best
friend. We learn from our BFFs instead of learning from Jesus. Learning from Jesus. I remember when I was so foolish when I was young in the Lord. I don't say foolish because I was foolish. Might as well tell it like it is. I was foolish. Now, I got saved first before this other lady did, and we got to be best friends. I thought I needed a best friend. So I was really more mature in the Lord than she was. But guess what happened? She was my BFF. So I followed her and led myself right into trouble. Because after I came to Jesus, I didn't keep coming. I didn't yoke myself up with him. Then I didn't start learning from him. You got to learn from him. He's the best BFF you could ever have.
Yes.
So make him your best friend forever. Make him that one that you're learning from. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul.
Hallelujah.
What are we looking for? Rest for our souls.
Amen.
You got to come. You got to yoke up with Jesus. You got to learn from him. And then you'll find rest from yourself, for your soul. He said, for I am gentle and I'm lowly in heart. I am gentle and I'm lowly in heart. What does that mean? It means he's humble. He's meek. You know, I put it this way. He is not hard to get along with. Your BFF might be hard to get along with at times. But Jesus is never hard to get along with. He's never hard to get along with. And one thing about Jesus, he always has our best interests at heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows what's best for us.
Yeah.
He knows what way for us to go. He knows for us what he wants us to say. He knows what he wants us to do. He knows what path he wants us to travel in. He knows how to solve any problem that could ever come up. He knows what to do. He knows how we feel. If I'm feeling a temptation, or if I'm feeling a weakness or an infirmity, Jesus knows about it.
Amen.
He's the high priest that is able to feel our infirmities and all of that. Because he lived in a body down here just like we did. He was tempted just like we are, yet without sin. So he knows it. One scripture says that everything we do, nothing we can do can be hidden from God. God knows and sees everything, and nothing is hidden from him. He sees it all. He knows it all. He's our great high priest, Jesus is. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. So when you start coming, you come in salvation, you keep on coming. Don't stop coming. Don't stop coming. I was talking with somebody last night, and a lot of times we'll say, I got this. Well, you got this if you got Jesus. You got this if you know Jesus. You got this if you know your authority in Jesus. If those are not true, you don't have it.
No.
It has you, or if it don't have you, it's going to eventually get you.
Amen. That's true.
So we need to bring everything to Jesus. I've said this before, and I'm probably going to keep on saying it several times throughout different messages. Bring everything to Jesus. Bring it to him. Give it to him. If I'm having some sort of feeling that I know is not right, it's not even me trying to hide. Okay, Lord, you see. You know my heart. You see my feelings. You know I'm thinking something. I ain't got no business thinking. I don't want to think it. It's not my. Don't think it's your thought. It's the enemy's thought he's bringing to you.
Yes.
So don't own it as yours. It's not yours. The enemy will bring it to you. He'll make it sound like you. So you'll think it's you, but it's not you. It's from the enemy. But acknowledge to God that that thought is there. So you can come boldly to the throne of grace to find the mercy and grace you need in time that you need it to help you.
Yeah.
Bring it to him anyway. Bring everything to him. There's freedom. And when you get to the place, you can bring everything to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Everything. He is not waiting to condemn us. He will not condemn us. There's no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. So when we bring our thoughts to him, we bring our feelings to him, we bring everything to him, he already knows about it. He's the one that can sympathize and fix it for us and deliver us. I don't care how many times we bury our head in the sand, think that because we do that, it's going to make something go away. It does not make anything go away. That problem's still there. So the best thing to do is what? When you come to him, take it to him. Take it to Jesus. Take it to Jesus. Then in verse 30 it says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Man.
Might not seem like his yoke is easy, but it is. Jesus said it must be true. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. What does it mean to be easy? The word easy here in the Greek means to furnish what is needed. It's profitable, it's fit, it's good for any use. Oh my goodness. You mean, Jesus, that your yoke, you mean if I just allow you to be number one in my heart, if I just be one with you, if I just take my cross up and follow you, if I just be obedient unto you and do whatever you ask me to do, do you mean that it's easy? Do you mean that in doing that, I'll have everything I need because being yoked up, you will furnish everything I need? Do you mean it's profitable? Do you mean it's good for any use? Oh, Lord, I've been scared to yoke myself up to you. I've been afraid to just allow you to lead me and guide me. I've been afraid to step out on faith and do what you told me to do. I've been afraid to allow you to use me in any situation, any place, anywhere, among any people. But are you telling me if I do that, it's good for me?
Yeah.
It's profitable? Is everything I need going to be furnished in that place? Yeah, it will. It will. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So what's a burden? A burden is a task or service. So you mean, Jesus, if I allow myself to be a service for you, if I allow myself to follow you, if I allow myself 100% to be in obedience to you, then it's going to be okay. Because your burden is light. It's easy. It's not heavy. It's easy. It's not heavy. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." We all know what Paul suffered. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was put in prison. But then Paul said, "My light affliction."
Yeah.
I'm thinking, Paul, you call that light?
Momentary light.
Yeah. It's but for a moment. I mean, he was in the deep for a day and a night. He was in prison for a long time, but Paul still said it was light. It was but for a moment. It was light, it was but for a moment. So come to Jesus. All day long, come to him. Every situation, come to him.
Yes.
Yoke up with the word. Yoke up with him by being obedient to his spirit and to the word.
Yes.
And then learn from him. Learn from him. Learn from him. 1 John 5:3 says this. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." God's commandments are not burdensome.
Yes.
They're not a burden. You see, the enemy wants to think that serving God is a burden. He wants us to think that obedience is a burden. He wants us to think that being in union and fellowship and walking with Jesus is a burden, but it's not. First Peter 1:13 says this, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? It means know what's going on in your mind. Gird it up. Hold it together. Don't let it go all over the place, but hold it together. And be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that has to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rest your hope in that. Rest your hope in the fact that when I come to him and I yoke myself up with him and I learn of him, there's grace for revelation. Revelation is what we need. Amen. It's when God reveals his truth to us. He reveals his word to us. He reveals his will for us. He reveals his destiny and purpose for us. He reveals us, why am I, sometimes we ask, Lord, why am I here? Father, Jesus, why did you put me here? Why am I in this place at this time with this folks that I don't like? They're always giving me trouble. It's always conflict, Lord. Why am I here? But what you got to do, rest your hope on the grace and believe that what? Revelation is going to come from Jesus.
Amen.
He knows why you're there. He knows why you're there. He knows why he put you there. He knows why he put you in the place you're in. Sometimes people ask, well, Lord, why in the world do you put me in this family? This is not the family I would have chosen, and I've chosen my own family. Mm-hmm. Well, the Lord knows why he put us in places he put us in. He knows why we were born in whatever family we were born in. He knows. So we can rest in hope, in the grace that he's given us to receive the revelation that we need to go through whatever we're going through at the time we're going through it.
Amen.
But we got to remember to come.
Mm-hmm.
When you're weak, come.
Yes.
When you're strong, come.
Yes.
When you're confused, come. When you think you know everything, still come.
You know.
Come. Come when everything's going okay, and come when everything's not going okay. Just come to him on a regular basis and just keep coming. Hebrew tells us about the Israelite people. And I'm going to tell the story right quick. But God chose the Israelite people as his people. That's before the church in the Old Testament. He chose them as his people because Jesus was going to come from the Israelite people. So he chose them. But the Israelites were disobedient. Jesus took them out of slavery to bring them to the promised land. And the promised land was a type of rest for the children of Israel. It was a type of rest. But they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. A whole generation died in the wilderness and did not get to the promised land.
Man.
I'm going to start at Hebrews 3:18. We're going to read what Hebrews says about the children of Israel and why they didn't get to the promised land, some of them. Hebrews 3:18 says this, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief, verse 19. Now let's go to Hebrews 4:9. So the Israelites could not enter in because of unbelief. They didn't obey. If you don't obey God, that means you don't believe what God told you. Simple. If you believe it, you would do it. So disobedience means we don't believe what God has told us. Hebrews 4:9 says this. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Verse 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as did God from his, when God ceased on the seventh day from creating the whole world. So to rest in God, to get that rest that Jesus talked about, we have to cease from our own labor. We have to cease from our own work. We have got to stop working to try to figure things out. Stop working to try to work things out. Stop working to try to make things go your way. But rest in Jesus. Rest in Jesus and let him do what he's already been sent to do for us. Let him do it. Let him do it. Verse 11 says this. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. If we're constantly disobeying God, constantly not following God, that means we are not always entering into our rest. Mm-hmm. To rest means we are obeying God. Verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So how do we enter into that rest? How do we obey the word of God? We got to get God's word. We got to meditate on it. We got to think about it. We got to get in the word.
Amen.
Because the word of God will divide our soul from our spirit. It would also show us what's joints and marrow, what's the flesh, what's the body. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And Hebrews 4:13 says this, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account.
Yes.
So seeing that we have a great high priest, verse 14, who has passed from the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Keep confessing the word of God. Keep speaking the word of God. Speak the word of God. Speak the truth.
Yes.
Speak what God has said over you.
Yes.
Verse 15, but we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, so we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need.
Thank you, Jesus.
So just come.
Thank you.
I'm giving you all kind of reason why you should come.
Yes.
Come.
Yes.
Come and he will give you rest.
Thank you.
Come. Don't try to figure things out on your own. Don't try to do this on your own. Come to Jesus. Come boldly to Jesus. I don't care what it is, what situation, what problem, what thought, what feeling. Come to Jesus. And the word said, he that comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. That's not just talking just about salvation. That's talking about every time you need and you come.
Yes.
Every time you need and you come. Even when you don't need him, you come because you want fellowship with him. You want communion with him.
Yes.
You want to allow him to love on you and you want to love on him.
Yes.
You want to be strengthened in his presence.
Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes,
Lord. So come. So come to him.
Yes.
I'm going to read you the Amplified version of Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls.
Mm.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart.
Yes.
And you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your soul. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. Amen.
Amen.
So come to Jesus. Come to him. Humble yourselves in every situation and come to Jesus. Never think that you got it all made. You don't need him. You know it all. You don't need him. I read that so many times. I don't need to read it no more. Even though Holy Spirit said read it, you know, maybe you missed something.
Yes.
So if Holy Spirit said read it again.
Yes.
Come to him. Come to him. Come to Jesus. Bring your problems to Jesus.
Yes.
Bring your situations to Jesus. Bring it all to Jesus. And you will see him changing your heart. He will change your heart because as your mind changes, your heart changes. And as your heart changes, the way you live changes.
Yes, yes.
There's no magical formula. Some people think that there's no magical formula. The Bible says what? Being transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
Yes.
Guess what? If we don't renew our mind, then we will not be transformed.
Amen.
Amen. Be transformed by renewing of your mind.
Yes.
Come to him. Come to him in the word. Come to him and read the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. That's coming to him. Come to him in your prayer time. Bring everything to him. That's coming to him. Spend time in his presence, just loving on him. Let him love on you. That's coming to him.
Yeah.
And see him change who you are. See him change your life. See him change all that. See him change all that. I'm going to tell this testimony. I go to the wellness center on Tuesday and Thursday to exercise. And last Thursday I was there, I met this lady. My family has been trying to, on my daddy's side, we've been trying to study and find our roots to where our ancestors came from. And we've gotten to a block and we can't have been able to get any further as to where they came from. And we all know about slavery. I mean, that's part of American history. So no need to act like if nothing didn't happen. It happened. I mean, I don't have a problem with it now. I mean, that's the past. Yeah, what happened, happened. And so I don't have any anger, any animosity or anything like that. I mean, I used to, but I don't. And why do you think I don't? Because of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because of Jesus. I come to Jesus. When I found out I had a problem, I came to Jesus. Anyway, I was in the exercise place and me and this lady was talking and I asked her about where she come from. I was, you know, I'm black, she was Caucasian. I asked her where she lived and she said she lived in Pine Top. And then she began to tell me where she grew up at, and it was this farm plantation that my ancestors were slaves on. So I told her, I said, guess what? I said, your people own my people. She had no problem with the past. I had no problem with the past. So I told her, I said, you know what? I said, we've been trying to figure out where they came from before they came there. And we have not been able to find any more information to find out stuff. So she said, you know what? I'm going to go back and look at the records. She said, I think I got some old records. I'm going to go back and look at the records, see what I can find and bring to you. I said, that would be so great. But I thought about that later. I said, Lord, we could talk. And I had no problem.
Praise God.
I had not one iota of a problem.
Praise God.
That's how free I was.
Amen.
You know. And had that situation had not come up, I probably would have known how free I was. But that's what coming to Jesus will do.
Yes, yes.
If you bring everything to him. Did I used to have prejudice? Yes, I did. It was so prejudiced. I mean, I grew up in a prejudiced time. So quite naturally, it affected me.
Yes.
But Jesus put me in a situation where I had to lean on him and rely on him, and he took it all.
Amen.
He took it all. Thank you, Jesus. He took it all. And had he not taken it all back there then, I would never been able to do what I'm doing today for the Lord for all people.
Yes.
I would never have been able to teach school and be concerned about all my students.
That's right.
And love all my students the way I did if he had not done that. So what I want to say is don't hide. Hallelujah. Mm. Don't hide. Don't hide your feelings. Don't hide whatever you have. Even if it's negative, don't hide it. But what? Come to Jesus with it.
Yes.
Come to Jesus with it. Don't pretend like it don't exist, but come to Jesus with it. Come to him. And then you'll find rest. As long as all that junk is in us and not supposed to be there, there is no rest in that area. There is no rest in that area. But if you come to him, he will give you rest. How do you know you're free? If that situation comes up again and it don't bother you, you are free.
Amen.
But if it comes up again and you got a problem with it, you ain't quite free yet. You ain't quite free yet.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there is freedom. There's no such thing as you can't get free. There's no such things you won't ever get free. There is freedom. Just come to him.
Amen.
Just like coming to him brought freedom when we got salvation and we keep coming, it will bring freedom to every area of our life. But just keep on coming.
Yeah.
Just don't stop coming.
Yeah.
Don't stop bringing it to him.
Amen.
Yeah.
He wants us to bring it to him. He wants us to come. So just keep coming. So my message today, just come. And I guess I can tack on it, come and keep on coming. Come and keep on coming. That's the only way we get free. That's the only way freedom comes. If you keep on coming, keep on bringing it to him. Keep on giving it to him. Then them know, well, he already knows the truth. He just wants to come and agree with him on the subject. And then he can do something about it.
Hallelujah.
Then he can do something about it. Just come into agreement with him. Let's stand. So come and keep on coming. Thank you, Jesus.